Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back.
This is Happy Opening, the Set's Still Wet.
That's right, our new special podcast
series. And boy, do we have somebody that we love today. This is, you know her from The Wild Party. You know her from Wicked. You know her because her voice is incredible. She's a fabulous, phenomenal actress. It is the one and only Julia Murney.
That's me.
Welcome, Julia.
We were just talking before we went on the air. As we mentioned, their title is, you know, Happy Opening. The Set's Still Wet. Mm-hmm. Tell us again what you were saying, Julia, about what it's like dancing on a wet floor.
Well, everything's still just the slightest bit tacky,
yeah.
And you get out there and you hear this sk, sk, sk underneath your feet, yeah. Because it's just you kind of stick into that paint.
Yep.
And then if you try to do like a knee slide or something, you just fall on your face because not that I would be doing a knee slide now, but once upon a time.
No, but I pictured it like community theater just knee slide always.
Slide down.
Yes, of course. You were saying before that you grew up in New York City.
That's true.
And we were saying, oh yeah, we want to celebrate, the community theater shows that we did and growing up. But you were saying you didn't.
We don't have that in New York City.
It just doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
New York City.
It's not a thing.
So what is it? How did you like cut your teeth on
my parents when I was in high school said that I wasn't allowed to hang out in the city anymore in the summer, that I had to go to summer camp. I wasn't troublesome. I wasn't a troublemaker or anything.
Right.
They weren't
right.
like, you can't get arrested again. but they were like, you have to go to camp. And at that point I wasn't like, I want to be an actress or anything, but my dad's an actor and I had started singing and for fun. So they got the names of all the sort of arts-minded camps in the Northeast.
Right.
And got all the brochures, and I was very petulant and obnoxious, and I looked at all of them and was like, that's nice, but I'm not going. So bitchy. Can I say bitchy?
Of course you can.
Okay.
Course. We're not censored.
All language, yeah.
Cool. And finally they put all the names into a hat and picked one.
Really?
And I was forced at, you know, machete point to go to Stage Door Manor.
Stage Door
in
one
Lock
out.
Sheldrake, New York.
The famous, infamous Stage Door Manor.
And my mother, for reasons I don't remember, I don't know why my parents didn't drive me up, because essentially right there. But she put me on the bus, that not like a public, but like it was a bus for camp. But it was all kids who had been there before, and they were all, as you can imagine, a theater camp is filled with personality.
The elitism of having been before.
And I was very shy, and everyone's like, oh my God, hi. And my mother, I can't remember what it was, but she said something to me like, I was going for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I put an extra something in your trunk in case you end up wanting to stay. And I so dramatically turned to her and I was like, I don't even want to go now. Cut to, I don't know, a week in, going into the phone room, because y'all, we did not have cell phones back then. You had to go into the phone room and call collect or use your parents' AT&T card.
Oh my goodness, that's
and
right.
And going in and calling my parents and being like, can I stay another 3 weeks?
Oh.
Because it was magical.
Yeah.
And the whole camp runs 9 weeks every summer, and we absolutely could not afford for me to go for the last 3 weeks, so I did go for one more three, and then I had to leave. And I was dramatically despondent.
Oh, because you couldn't stay the whole
time.
Everyone else got to stay.
But while it was happening, like those whole 3 weeks, you couldn't talk to me.
Oh, you were like missing out on the greatest fun of your life.
It was FOMO before I knew what FOMO was. Hashtag before I knew what hashtag was. Hashtag pre-hashtag.
Exactly, pre-hashtag.
That's the new hashtag.
Yeah,
hashtag pre-hashtag.
Yeah.
So Stage Door is where I did my first shows.
So,
and what were they?
Yeah.
My very first show, I was in Applause. I was
like, wait a minute.
Oh, baby. You have to understand that they do something like, I don't know what it is, like 12 shows at the end of every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And every camper gets is in a show.
Yeah.
So, and they have a lot of campers. So they have to pick a bunch
of
dang shows. And Applause was my first show. Feel it. Think about it. Understand it. I was third gypsy from the left. I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen. And then I was cast in my infamous second three surprise second mm-hmm. 3 weeks. I was cast as the judge in Chicago. Wait, it gets better. It was so exciting. I had like 3 lines.
Yeah.
I mean, I think not guilty, guilty, or so whatever. I was so excited. And then the girl who was playing Hunyak hated camp and left, and they bumped me to Hunyak.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, what? And then I went, oh, I have to learn lines in Hungarian. All my lines are in Hungarian. Fast. Right. I still know the monologue because when you have to learn something phonetically and you're that young, it just sticks
right.
in
no,
your
yeah,
brain.
Yeah.
So that's inappropriate that we did that.
That's guilty.
And then I went the next summer for 6 weeks, and in which I played 2 fully appropriate roles. I played Mazeppa in Gypsy. And then.
And how old were you? Like,
probably. Obviously, Anita in West Side Story.
Of course.
Obvi.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Dye the hair, we call it a day. And
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
That's incredible. Okay, now tell us about your high school experience.
So I went to what is now known as LaGuardia, mm-hmm. High School of the Arts, maybe is what it's, I don't know what its actual title is, frankly. It was 2 schools that had always been under that banner, and they merged my junior year. So as a voice major, there was only 1 show that was done during those 4 years that I could do. We did it my senior year, and we had to do it on the staircase in the lobby because the auditorium wasn't finished yet because they had rushed the merger because it had been on for so long. Truly, I take a cab up Amsterdam Avenue, and there's the staircase. It's right there, and you're like, oh, and that's where I did Follies.
Well,
I played Carlotta. I sang I'm Still Here. I was 17.
Mm-hmm. I am
Yes.
A Carlotta with braces. This is incredible.
I just can't even get over that option to do.
That's what we did. Well, they had just done that big concert version at Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
With George Hearn and Barbara Cook.
Yeah.
And that we're across the street from Lincoln Center. And right. I think that was part of why it was in the brain. But and when I went to see the revival of it on Broadway many years later, I was watching it, and the number Who's That Woman started, and all of a sudden I went, oh my goodness, I choreographed this too. I had forgotten completely, but I had choreographed it, a tap number on, P.S. I don't tap, on a platform on the landing of a staircase.
A staircase in the lobby.
On Amsterdam Avenue. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes, please.
And there it is.
That is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. Follies.
Were you going to ask something? I cut you off. I'm sorry.
First kiss. Did you have it? Do you remember your first kiss?
Are you kidding me? Teddy Kroll.
Oh, Teddy.
So cute. He was like a year or two ahead of me at junior high. Mm. And first kiss was also my first concert. Mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden. Squeeze.
Oh, okay.
If y'all don't know Squeeze, they sing, Tempted by the Fruit of Another. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Squeeze, opening act, Flock of Seagulls.
Oh.
And I ran so, and they had this huge, the lead singer had this huge platinum white hair.
Of course.
It came down into this, like, it wasn't quite a mohawk. It was more God. Like a Wakanda Forever situation. hashtag, pre-hashtag. And Teddy Kroll. Oh, so cute. And yes, I don't know where he is now, but.
But was it good?
Oh my gosh, he was so sweet. But I couldn't believe it because it was Teddy Kroll. Oh my God. Like that.
Favorite costume. And favorite can mean many different things.
Hmm.
Or anything just like
Wrong. Will say probably favorite costume for several reasons would be Wild Party. Because I was basically in one costume the whole once the party starts, nobody leaves. Excuse me. And because it was the first time I'd ever had anything made for me by, bless his soul, Martin Pakladinas,
so
who
special.
Was such a genius.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand. I had seen his renderings, and then I went in for a fitting, and I thought, I guess I'm going to have to look like that or whatever. And then he looked at me, and then he made things, adjustments, and it was so, I just felt like $1 million.
Oh, yeah.
So that so my, special. That's the I will say, it was far more of a pain in the ass, but very special costume world is the second act dress in Wicked. Because it's the same dress, but every one of them that is made is individual, is one of a kind.
Oh, wow.
Because all the different patching that they have in it, that it's when you learn the, rightfully so, the pride of costume designers.
Yes.
I mean, what's going on in that dress, you can't see from row one.
Yeah.
You can't see it. But damn it, Susan Hilferty knows
it's
there.
Yeah. The quality
and that, and she knows what is what. And I mean, that dress is very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 35 pounds or some ridiculousness. And so you have to get used to when you run, you've got to really like grab the skirt so you don't fall on it and all that kind of stuff.
God.
But it's a beautiful construction.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were... Now you have me thinking about costumes. Mm-hmm. And I got to wear some good stuff when I did Seussical. Well, I was Maisie.
Uh-huh.
Is that her name? Yes.
Yeah. Maisie.
And that was a fun one. Yeah.
And where'd you do Seussical?
At the Muni.
Mm.
Meet me at the Muni.
We're a football field away.
They have a
whole song. Now, before we went on the air, you said that at one point Stage Door went over to French Woods.
Oh, yes.
We did. So, well, I guess this still exists. So back in the day, when I was at Stage Door in the 1820s, gaslight and horse-drawn carriages, there was a man called Jack Romano who was the artistic director of the camp, and he was this small Cuban man who said wildly inappropriate things in that we were children.
Right.
You could not in a million years get away with this now.
Like what?
The behavior of, like, well, one of, the thing that comes to mind is very, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
Go for it.
I am.
Happened.
So when I was playing the aforementioned Anita in West Side Story,
right,
we were rehearsing for the first time the scene where Bernardo comes into the dress shop and we kiss.
Yeah.
Bernardo, who, sidebar, was played by Sean Levy, who is one of the producers of Stranger Things and a huge Hollywood director. So let's just, FYI.
People went on to other things.
Oh, please. Josh Charles was Baby John. Gordon Greenberg was Random Jet. I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
And our Maria had been at one point one of the orphans in Annie on Broadway, and she basically belted Maria. Because she could, y'all.
That's what I want.
Because she could.
And it
didn't even feel wrong. You were like, yes, ma'am. But so we had this scene, and Sean and I are supposed to kiss, and we were a little like awkward because we're kissing, he's a boy, and blah, blah, blah. And we kiss, and Jack, I am about to do a terrible Cuban accent. My apologies. I don't. Everyone who knew Jack goes into the attempt of the Jack Romano imitation.
The thing we all do. Yep.
I am piss poor at it. Okay. But we kiss, and he goes, "No, no, 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 no. I need you to be hot Latin lovers, okay? I need for if you did a split, you would stick to the floor." I was at best 16 years old.
Oh my God.
If you said that today,
no!
Some parent would be like,
you cannot
talk to my child.
Right.
Of course, those of us who went there back then were like, what? It put hair in our chest. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're all a bunch of wimps.
Right.
But Jack, and Jack directed one show a year in that show.
Of
that
course.
Year, it was West Side Story. He also had directed a cabaret, which we would go and perform at all the hotels up in the Catskills, many of which don't exist anymore.
Kutcher, they're all gone.
Oh, honey.
Kutcher's,
Browns, the Neverly, the Concord.
This is when they were like sort of on their way out.
Yes.
Concord, yeah, that close.
The Homowack, that's one.
Oh, my God.
And we would go and do this show. The cabaret is still done at camp, lo these many years later, and there are still numbers that are the same numbers from back when I was there. But we went and we took Jack's cabaret to French Woods, and we performed it at French Woods.
The competing,
if you will,
sort
the
of,
competing.
You
sort
know,
of. Except I will say, I remember us pulling into like their camp, and we were all pressed up against the windows of the school bus because there were tennis courts, and people were actually playing tennis. Stage Door was very intense, and you there were tennis courts
tennis.
With weeds shooting up,
right.
And nobody. You were
That's
always
where
in
you
rehearsal,
rehearse the play.
Or you were always in class, and so I remember that. But it's funny because cut to many years later, when I was in college, a girlfriend of mine who I went to Syracuse with went to French Woods.
Oh my gosh.
And we started talking, and she went, "Oh my God, wait, wait, wait," because we were the same age. Yeah. She said, I remember when you came to French Woods. Because, not me, but
yeah.
like
right.
when
no,
the
no, your group
came
yeah.
to French Woods, because she said, "You guys seemed so professional." It was so like, "Oh, what the, what is happening?" And,
yes.
you know, they're like, there's always three ladders.
Yeah.
And the colors are always red, black, and white. It's all very specific.
Oh, yes.
And if anyone from Stage Door is listening to this, they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
Now, wait, where was college for you?
Syracuse. Yeah.
And did you get a BFA?
I did. I got that handy BFA in musical theater.
That Bachelor of Fine Arts.
I mean, what the world is my oyster with that. That's amazing.
How was your college experience?
It was good. It was cold because it was Syracuse.
Yeah.
It was a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. It was good. I spent a semester in London, and I mean, I had to like get used to, like many do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, did they showcase you?
Oh, you mean like when we're graduating?
Yeah.
There is a showcase, and I was in it. It's tricky. I was in the showcase. Yes.
Okay. I feel like
there's
something
story
I disagree with.
Do you have to audition
talk
for
to
the
us?
Showcase?
Yeah, not all the students are allowed to be in the showcase.
That was a deterring factor from me not going there.
My philosophy is, I'm sorry, you'll take their money, but you won't put them in front of. And I get it. I get that there are all kinds of other things at play in terms of like kids who maybe just don't put in the work,
right?
And kids who, but if you've kept them
for 4 years.
It's not school.
Yeah.
That's not what they do.
Yeah.
It's not a conservatory.
Right.
I also feel like, and the more I worked in the real world or not, the more I realized that this was true. Like, who am I to say who's going to work or not work?
Well, yes.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I worked with a girl once who clearly she was a senior in college, and her school, she wasn't doing her showcase, and clearly the school had given up on her in a way. And I was hell bent.
Yeah.
It was my mission. Just to find, she was a cute girl. She didn't have a great voice, but she could tumble.
Mm.
And I knew that would be something that would be useful. Mm. And I thought, we just have to find her two songs that she can nail.
Yep.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to go in and sing a new Argentina, you know, like we can give her something else that will fit and that she can sell and that will get her to the dance call. And then you're on your own.
Yeah.
You know, but I do have an issue with that.
So I do too.
I support that.
Yeah.
But yes, I was in our showcase.
You showcased.
You made it.
You made it.
I made it, you guys.
What was your showcase song?
Interesting question.
Uh-oh.
No, because I don't remember. Because it was 1812.
You're a grand old flag.
There was an overture, exactly. hashtag pre-hashtag.
Thank you for that one.
What did I sing? I may have sung a song called Imagine My Surprise, which is from the musical Personals.
I love Personals.
Do you? Oh, yes. You're yes. a rare love, bird who even has no.
We've talked about it quite a bit on this podcast, actually.
Oh, I love it.
And,
it's written by many people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure. I do not believe. I think we've had this conversation because Stephen Schwartz is one of the writers of Personal. Yeah. But he didn't write Imagine My Surprise. But the accompaniment... The piano part?
Yeah. Sure.
accompaniment there.
Yes, there you go.
Is Schwartzian, so I wasn't sure.
Yes, it is.
I think it actually might be written by the couple who created Friends.
Yeah, Marta Kaufman. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they may have written this song. And it was my audition song for... It's still in my book. It's I don't really have to have a book anymore. Yeah. But every once in a while, that will come
it's
up.
It's a good song.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
And I did a scene... I want to say it was something John Patrick Shanley.
Probably.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because now things are different. Now some of the schools do like these sort of shows.
Yes.
We didn't do that.
Right.
Yeah. That because, you know, we didn't know.
Yeah. So before we went on the air, we were mentioning that the guest we interviewed before you was John Simon.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to explain to you who he was.
How dare you even assume you need to do that.
And Julius cut us down real fast. Would you be so kind as to tell the story?
Well, I am old enough to have been Simonized. John Simon, I mean, I feel badly saying anything poorly about one of your other guests.
It's okay.
But I know, but I'm a nice
you are not the
Catholic
first.
Girl. I like to be polite. That being said, he was not nice to actors in general.
Mm.
And was infamous in his not niceness.
Right.
He was most especially against women who he perceived to be overweight. He would call them out on these things, like in ways that you're like, "Oh, really, dude? Yeah. Who hurt you? Show me on the doll where the man touched
right.
you, because I don't understand what the problem is." And I was doing a show at Manhattan Theater Club. Which Manhattan Theater Club kind of pretends never happened. But it really did. I was there. It was called Time and Again. And it was based on the novel, The Love Triangle of Myself, Lar Benanti, and Louis Cleel. And I actually thought it was really, it had a great amount of potential, and it just didn't find its way.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was an actress in the show, Lorne Ward, who is wonderful,
special.
And who is the original Violet in the musical.
Oh, yeah, my favorite musical.
I mean,
don't. And she's in Carolina Change right now in the West End. She's playing the mom in that right now.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
And she's tremendous. She's a tremendous actress. So she was saying all along, every once in a while, she'd be like, oh, wait till John Simon comes. He hates me.
Uh-oh.
He hates me. And Laura and I were like, oh, cool your jets. You're fine.
You,
he doesn't, blah, blah, blah. Cut to. The review came out and he said, Lara Benanti is pretty but cold. Julia Murney sings well but looks odd. And Lauren Ward is an all-around dud.
Oh, my God.
And we're like, oh, sweet Jesus. Seriously? Well, she called it. I mean, I guess there's something for being able to call
She's
that.
Right.
And I had said I wanted to have a costume party and invite people who've all been Simonized and they have to come dressed as what he said, and you have to figure it out so that, like, Laura would you know, be all dressed up and then be like, I have a chill. and Lauren could, like, be a milk dud and just people would have to figure it out. It never came to pass.
Oh, but that's good.
I want to go
good.
To that party.
I know.
I want to go to that party.
I mean,
there'd be a lot of people
party.
There.
Sort of like the black and white ball, only really
yes,
different.
Exactly. Yes.
Far more inside baseball.
Yes. Now, I must ask, so when you were beginning to make the rounds here, were there any, like, strange auditions you went on? Or did you take any really weird jobs in some, you know, black box in the middle of the Bronx somewhere, and you were going, what am I doing here?
I mean, auditions were always a little bit strange, because auditions are strange.
Yeah.
And when you start, I mean, when I started, I had an agent, but that didn't matter. I mean, I went on EPAs, and... And you go and you wait and you wait and you wait. And I think they're run very, very differently now because they have the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1822, post camp, but still hashtag pre hashtag, you know, we didn't have that. And you would get up at the crack of dawn to stand in front of the Equity Building to then get inside right. to sign up. And a girlfriend of mine lived two blocks from me, and we would meet in front. There was a on the corner. There was a body shop, you know, the and we called it the Angry Corner because we were so angry because it was so early, and we'd both be in our similar flower dresses,
yes.
with our hair pinned yes. exactly the same.
Of course.
And you get there, and I mean that lyric that Jason Robert Brown wrote in the song in Last 5 Years, yes. where she's talking about how we all look
yeah.
alike,
yeah, but
it
yeah.
is dead on. Especially for back then,
yes.
for the time
yeah.
that he was referring to, that he
yes.
wrote it, and which was my time.
Yeah.
I mean, I did things like, I remember I had a lot, this was an appointment actually, I had an appointment for Maria in the Sound of Music somewhere,
nice.
Along with, I also had several appointments for Eliza in My Fair Lady.
Oh.
Now, here's the truth of it. If you're going to play Eliza in My Fair Lady, it doesn't matter how much of a crackerjack actress you may be. If you don't sound like an angel with 15 wings,
yeah.
singing a G, no one's interested.
Yes.
And, and why would you be?
Right.
Like, that's
right.
part of it.
It's
and I would go in and I would sing without you, as opposed to I Could Have Danced All Night. But fun fact, if you get called back, guess what they want? Obviously, they want I Could Have Danced
right.
All Night. And
right.
eventually I was like, I should just do Pygmalion. And, and Maria was a little bit similar to that. I was kind of like, what?
Right.
I know I don't have the right.
Mm.
Even I wasn't an ingenue even at 20.
Yep.
I just didn't. My tone and my odd, thank you, John Simon, face structure
yeah.
and all that. So I went in for Maria and turned my back and sang I Have Confidence from the movie, but sang it all with my back to them. Like trying to turn around and look at them and
oh, yeah.
in the end, finally... But I came in, I had this whole plan.
Oh, my God.
But they were all looking down
oh, no.
when the intro started. And I was like, if they don't see me turn around, then they're going to look up and be like, what's
Why
wrong
is
with
she?
This girl?
Yep.
And so
oh, no.
they were all looking down. And right before I had to start to sing, I just went, ah! and they all looked up and I turned
yes.
and I started singing. And I will have you know, I was offered a nun and an understudy.
Oh, my God.
But
students, that's how you get the attention in the room. Just exclaim.
If they don't see the bit,
yeah.
then
ah.
the other bit won't work. I stripped
hey.
Once.
You stripped?
I did. I mean, not stripped.
No,
stripped.
I know, but like...
I want to say it was for the production of the musical Victor Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in and I sang Chicago, Illinois from mm-hmm. the movie. And did a strip.
All right.
Because, I don't know.
Why not?
Why not?
I guess. But that was also back in the day when, this didn't happen all the time, but there were a few times where, once in particular, I remember auditioning on the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, twice now. Probably another one will come up too. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I remember going in for Cats.
Yeah.
And going in on the stage of the Winter Garden.
Wow.
Which was super raked and weird
yeah.
And it's very intimidating.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember I went in once for it may have been I'm not sure what the show was, but I think they were rehearsing at the time Will Rogers' Follies.
Mm. Mm.
But it wasn't for Will Rogers' Follies, but it was for Tommy Tune
right.
or whatever. And it was at maybe the Niederlander.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, but they were rehearsing in a theater that was clearly didn't have a show in it. And I walked out on stage, and there were mirrors hung from the mezzanine, giant mirrors, so they could see themselves, so
yeah.
they could do their dance sequences as if you were in a dance studio.
Oh, wow.
But so then you got up, and then you could just see yourself in these massive mirrors. And I was like, help me.
That's terrifying.
But those were sort of terrifying
yeah.
when you don't have... experience being on those stages
yeah.
and all of a sudden you're not mic'd or anything, so you're just trying to figure out how to
project
yeah.
and like
sail
yeah.
through
yeah
whatever.
Well, you've done
but
pretty well for yourself, right? I'd say so.
Yeah.
This has been so much fun.
Thank you
so much for
totally my pleasure.
Yeah.
We loved it, and hopefully we'll get invited to this John Simon party at some point.
I mean, won't that be something? And do know, for anyone listening, I want the children to know that the auditioning never stops. there's like five people who don't have to audition.
Yes.
And there are some things that you do get offered.
Yeah.
But in terms of like a Broadway musical, for example, the auditions never end. And you're still putting yourself out there, even though, you know, you may look at someone and think, oh, well, now they don't have
They've
to do that.
This and this,
it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't.
Right.
And there's still, I mean, this was still several years ago, but I remember when they were casting The Pirate Queen.
Yes.
I could not get an appointment.
What?
Because I was told I was too mature. We're basically the same age. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay. But then they proceeded to give me an appointment for Queen, is it Victoria in that show? And who?
The soprano.
Yes. Like, not only is she 60-something, but she's a super soprano. Yeah. So age part aside, I was like, I can't. That's not my skill set.
And also, that's not the...
So, but they gave me an appointment, so I went in as if I was auditioning for The Pirate Queen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And at the time, Mark Dendy was choreographing it, who was the choreographer of The Wild Party. Mm-hmm. So I sang Life of the Party from Wild Party,
right.
Which, whether or not you like the song or the way that I do it, is so kind of balls out. That it tends to get a reaction, even if it's, oh, good morning.
Right.
Like anything. And I finished... And one of the French gentlemen who wrote Pirate Queen, who also wrote Les Mis, and, you know, very, very revered and all that, who I don't know,
right.
I finished that song. And he goes, do you have something more? And I went, full out? Thank you, because it's funny. Nothing. And he just went, reflective? And I was like, oh, my God. And the man on my shoulder was like, get out of the room. And I went over to my book, and I'm like leafing through, and I went, I remember right there in the title, nothing. Get out of the room. But you can't really get out of the room unless you really want to make a scene.
Yes.
And I mean, it was just, and even though Mark Dendy was in the corner all excited because I had sung from Wild Party.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But also it was a moment of like, I don't belong in this show.
Yeah.
Like, our temperaments are not jiving.
Yes.
But it never ends.
Yeah.
It never ends.
That is so, I'm
we
so glad you said that.
We constantly have
so
to put ourselves up for things, and the rejection happens much more frequently than you booked it.
Yeah.
That's why I always feel badly for my agents, because I think of how many, I think far more in a day, they have to call someone and say, so it's not going to go any further.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then deal with the response on the other end of like, oh.
Yeah.
And sometimes the response is, okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes you start crying.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's...
Never ends.
It never ends.
Good times.
That's good.
No. Good times for everybody. And this was
so
a good time.
So we celebrate.
Yeah.
We celebrate. We find other things.
Julia, thank you for stopping
you
by.
You, guys.
You are the best. We love you. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thanks,
bye, everybody.
Guys.
Today's episode was recorded at Shetler Studios on 244 West 54th Street. Visit Shetler Studios to book your room today, and you could be as cool as us. That's Shetler Studios.com.
And a big thanks to our sound editor, Daniel Schwartzberg, and social media manager, Bethany Ann Selecki.
And friends, don't forget, we want more folks to hear these incredible stories, and that's where you guys can come in and help us out.
Yes, in order for people to find out about us, we need lots of ratings on iTunes. The more ratings, the more they'll come up in searches. So head on over to iTunes, search for Behind the Curtain Broadway's Living Legends, click on our logo, click on ratings and reviews, then write a review and leave us 5 stars and make us feel as special as Eliza Doolittle on Eliza Doolittle Day.
Or you can leave us 1 star and make us feel as bad as Annie did in that weird production in Boston where Annie dreamed about being adopted and then ended the show back in the orphanage. True story, Rob was there.
I saw it. So head on over to iTunes and make us feel even more special than we already do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.